This is the Taylor Report. We're back. CIUT 89.5 FM. Next Monday, 5 p.m., we're going to be asking for donations to support the great station, CIUT. Joining us is Zafar Bengash, very familiar to our listeners. And Zafar, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Phil.
We are very glad to talk to you. And I will say, by the way, you're one of our favorites, and many of our listeners write to us and thank us when you are on the show, because you talk about a part of the world in where there are billions of people and major things go on, and you hear it's crickets. The reporting is lousy or minimal, and we have a major story. The former prime minister, the one who was basically illegally, certainly argues he's illegally removed from office, Imran Khan, was shot, apparently. And I'm going to leave it to you. What happened? Where was he? What is this about?
Well, basically, ever since his ouster through an engineered coup, which was carried out by these discredited, corrupt, criminal politicians who have a lot of criminal charges against them, and yet they were brought to power through the help of the military, instigated by the United States, because the United States was unhappy with Imran Khan, who wanted to have Pakistan pursue an independent policy, not to be subservient to the United States. Now, since his ouster, he has been holding massive rallies throughout the country. In fact, since his ouster in April of this year, till recently, he had basically held rallies in more than 70 cities across the country. And these rallies were attended by literally hundreds of thousands of people. And his basic demand has been that fresh elections should be held in the country to determine whether the people want him in power or these criminals mm-hmm. that have been imposed on the country. Mm-hmm. And he had started his march towards Islamabad. Now, he said he's going to march on Islamabad, the capital city, starting from Lahore. And he was about halfway through to Islamabad. I mean, he was basically going from one city to the next along the route. And he was in a city called Wazirabad, where this attack on his convoy took place. He was, of course, standing atop a container that was being pulled by a truck. And there were basically at least two shooters, one person standing below, very close to the container. He had a 9mm pistol, and the other person had a high-velocity rifle from a nearby building. And this person who was standing near the container, he fired some shots, but behind him was another person, of course, a supporter of Imran Khan, who basically managed to hit his hand on top of the gun, so the gun was lowered instead of, you know, hitting mm-hmm. Imran Khan in his body or in his head. He basically received four bullets in his right leg, mm-hmm. And a number of his senior party leaders were also...
So it's like an automatic pistol, boom, 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 boom.
Exactly, exactly. And one other person who basically grappled with this person with the pistol... since he was very close to it and facing the pistol basically, or the shot that was fired hit him. The bullet went straight through underneath his chin, through his neck, and that poor guy was killed instantly. Now,
you know, by the way, this is so sad that often this happens. A major figure is shot at, and they say, well, he was wounded.
Yes.
But somebody died.
Exactly. Somebody died. And basically, Imran Khan had actually... said this in one of his speeches back in September. In fact, it was September 24th of this year, when he said that I have been told, and he has links within the intelligence community because he was the prime minister for 3.5 years, and there are people that like him and his policies. He said that I've been informed that an assassination attempt would be made, and if I'm killed, they would try to turn that into some religious fanatic doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the scenario, the way it unfolded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as soon as this person was grabbed, of course, the other person who was on the building with a high-velocity rifle, he wasn't able to hit anybody because the moment the first shots were fired and these people were hit, they all immediately dropped down to the floor of the container. And so the shots that were fired by the high-velocity rifle went over their heads, and nobody was hit with that. But some bullets hit the container, and there are big holes in that container. These have been shown on television and in other photographs, etc. And Imran Khan had said that he had had information from some intelligence agents that he would either be killed or wounded. And he said that he also knows the people that are planning it. And he basically named three people: the current prime minister, the current interior minister, and a senior intelligence officer whose job it is to do these kinds of dirty things. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that although he has named these people, and the normal procedure is that a case would be lodged with the police, and you know, his lawyers and his representatives have gone to the police station, and they refuse to register a case. They say, well, we are prepared to name the prime minister and the interior minister, but we cannot name this senior military intelligence officer. So this clearly indicates to us that the military is deeply involved in this conspiracy. They wanted to eliminate Imran Khan because they thought that once he's removed from power, that he would just become a nobody, like on previous occasions when they removed politicians. They just, you know, went into oblivion. Yes. But unlike Imran Khan,
I can remember two went different. Totally into oblivion.
Absolutely. So those, unfortunately, the fact is that the Pakistani military is playing a very dirty game. And the reason why they are doing this is that they are, for the first time in Pakistan's history, being challenged by somebody who has massive support in the country. There have been, you know, by-elections. For instance, on July 17th, there were by-elections for a provincial assembly. There were 20 seats being contested. Out of those, Imran Khan's party won 16 seats out of the 20. And there was also, you know, rigging on some of the seats, but his people were there, so they prevented that from happening. Then a few weeks ago, there were by-elections to the National Assembly. Out of 10 seats being contested, Imran Khan won 8 seats. And so you can see that there is massive support from him, from among the masses, and he's insisting that this government is unworkable. The military has imposed this government on the people. The people are very unhappy. The economy has completely tanked. There is massive unemployment. The prices have skyrocketed. And the military knows that if there were elections held right away, that naturally Imran Khan's party would win more than 2/3 majority in parliament, and then he will be able to amend the constitution in a way that would curtail the powers of the military. Today, unfortunately, the military acts above the law. You know, the courts are scared of it. They will not do anything against them. Mm-hmm. You know, the military basically refuses to abide by the constitution or the law, as is evident from the fact that the police would not register a case against them, and they continue to kidnap people, torture them. They've kidnapped a number of journalists and tortured them, stripping them naked. There was a case of Imran Khan's chief of staff, who's an academic who used to be here in Chicago, you know, professor of business administration. He was kidnapped, stripped naked, tortured. All kinds of terrible things were done to him for more than a week. Then recently, a senator, a 74-year-old senator, he was arrested, picked up by, basically, there is a sort of, you know, intelligence agency, which is a civilian agency, which is called FIA, Federal Investigation Agency. but it takes direction from the military as well. And so they picked up this senator, took him to a cell, and then the military men were there. And to his credit, this senator, when he came out, he actually held a press conference, and he named the military officers that were there that did these terrible things to him. Mm-hmm. They said that they stripped me naked, they tortured me, they were laughing at me, and these are the individuals that I named. For the first time, some politician has had the courage to name these intelligence agents.
Yeah, this would not have been, nobody would have said a word before, right?
Scared the living daylights out of the military because now their dirty tricks are being exposed in Pakistan.
Well, is there any, Globe and Mail reported yesterday that that Imran Khan was said he'd be, I'm looking at the title here, welcomes probe. Is that true? I mean, is there a probe? And do you know what his party or he is saying about any investigation?
Exactly. Basically, what the Prime Minister did was, Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, he said that he would like to order a judicial inquiry. But Imran Khan said, well, you know, I welcome that judicial inquiry, but the problem is that the people that are who are going to do the investigation, which is the Interior Minister and the intelligence agencies, they are going to do the investigation, and they are the ones that are involved in this assassination attempt.
Yeah, it's so like the Emmett Till case. Who looked into it? The guys who did it.
Exactly. So you're sort of basically, they'll be setting up the same people. I mean, you know, all of these inquiries unfortunately get nowhere in Pakistan. It has a very, very long history. Like the first Prime Minister of Pakistan, Liaquat Ali Khan, who was assassinated in October of 1951. To this day, nobody knows who carried out, who was behind his assassination. Of course, the guy who pulled the trigger was caught and killed, but who the real perpetrators behind it were have never been exposed. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened with General Zia, whose plane was crashed. Nobody knows exactly who was behind it. Then Benazir Bhutto was killed in December of 2007. To this day, nobody knows, you know, who was behind it. So All of these investigations lead nowhere because the people that are behind these assassinations and these killings are actually the ones that are put in charge of doing the investigation.
It's one of the most remarkably corrupt, strange cultures, a political culture. On this program years back, you and I talked about a phenomenon which I wish was made into a movie, a book, etc. Maybe it has been, but an American CIA agent in a major Pakistani city, I forget what kind of problem he got into, but for some reason he panicked and got in a cab or drove his car. I think he had, actually, now I think of it, he had run over and killed maybe a Pakistani citizen, but he began to shoot policemen.
Yes,
he killed three or four people. He ended up in the U.S. Embassy.
That's right. He was a CIA contractor. He was essentially a CIA agent operating in Pakistan in the city of Lahore. And, of course, you know, the intelligence agency, which is ISI, Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, their operatives were basically, following his vehicle on a motorcycle. And Raymond Davis basically stopped in the middle of the street. He realized he's being followed. He got out, pulled out his gun, and shot both of those agents at point blank range.
Oh, my God. Those are Pakistani agents that he killed.
He killed, actually.
And what happened?
Yeah.
How badly was he punished?
And then the chief of intelligence at that time, his name was General Asif Shuja. And he basically pressured. Now, of course, you know, Raymond Davis was charged with murder, arrested by the police, charged with murder. And then that intelligence chief basically pressured the family of the victims and said that you either take blood money or we are going to kill you as well. And so, unfortunately, while a CIA agent in Pakistan murdered two intelligence agents, then the intelligence chief pressurizes the family of those victims to say that you settle without pressing these charges. And as soon as that the family was pressured, they obviously had to testify in court in front of the judges that we would draw our charges. And within an hour or so, Raymond Davis was whisked out of that court and taken straight to the airport and flown out of the country.
Oh, boy.
A few months ago,
Liz Happily Ever After
published a book in which he narrated all of these things. And he said he was quite surprised how the intelligence chief, he later learned that the intelligence chief was not only in contact with the American embassy in Islamabad on an hourly basis while this court case was going on, or court appearance, but also with the American chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, giving him a blow-by-blow account of what was taking place. So these are the kinds of things that are unfortunate.
If that can happen, nothing mysterious about this present situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unspeakable. By the way, that was the humiliation that Prime Minister Khan was talking about. And to me, he reminds me of Ali Bhutto. Ali Bhutto called General somebody, Zia, I think it was. He said, "You're a chocolate soldier." And that was pretty much the reason he hanged. But Prime Minister Khan said, "Do you think we're your slaves?" And apparently they do.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, there is actually a... not one, but several retired generals that have spoken on television, and they have said that when we went to the United States for military training, like, you know, there are deep relations between the U.S. and Pakistani militaries, and many Pakistani military officers come to the United States. They go to, you know, other countries as well, including Canada, Britain, Australia, etc., to attend various staff college courses. So this one retired three-star general, his name is General Shahid Raza. On television, in an interview, he said that as a major, when he had gone to the United States, the CIA tried to recruit him to work for them for an unspecified sum of money. He said, "I refused." He said, "A few years later, now this major is promoted to a colonel, at the rank of a colonel. He again goes to attend some other courses in the United States." He said they again tried to recruit him to work for the Americans. And again, he said, "I refused." And this is a general who is publicly admitting that these things are happening. And there have been other instances. For instance, there was both a brigadier general, his name was Brigadier Rizwan Haider, and there was a three-star general by the name of Iqbal Javed Awan. They were recruited by the CIA to provide information to the United States about Pakistan's nuclear program. And they were, of course, within Pakistan, they were arrested. The military arrested them. They were put on trial. The brigadier was hanged in October of 2019, and the lieutenant general was sentenced to 15 years in prison. They didn't hang him because he happened to be a three-star general. So these kinds of things, these have come to light. Now, I'm sure there are other instances and cases which have not come to light, and a lot of these dirty things are going on. So unfortunately, the Pakistani military is deeply compromised. They take their orders from the Americans, and this is what's happening in today's situation as well.
Yeah, and by the way, that leads into another question about what's going on in the region, because one of the assumptions was that Mr. Khan needed to be removed from the U.S. point of view because he was resisting their new... increased pressure campaign in the region to force countries into a closer alliance, and they of course are targeting countries, and one of the big target is the Islamic Republic, but there's also Afghanistan, and it's assumed that with the military running things and the kind of gentleman you described running things, they're able to use personnel out of Pakistan against the Islamic Republic, and also Afghanistan.
Yes, of course. You know, you would note that as soon as Imran Khan was removed from power, within a couple of months, the Americans were able to use Pakistani airspace to carry out drone attacks inside Afghanistan. And so upset were the new Afghan rulers, the Taliban, that they actually threatened Pakistan. And they said that, you know, you are allowing your territory to be used by the Americans against us. There is, of course, you know, you are quite right in pointing to the broader regional situation whereby the Islamic Republic of Iran is targeted. There's a massive, you know, campaign going on right now as we speak.
Yes.
You know, they, of course, these people that the CIA uses, they are a tiny minority, but their voice is amplified through these media outlets in the U.S., in Britain, in other places. These are all outlets that are financed by the CIA.
Oh, and I want to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure I do ask you, since you've raised this matter. There was a group, it was called the MEK, I believe, the letters,
yes.
And it was in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, helping Saddam Hussein in a war with the Islamic Republic. Now, my understanding is that that armed group is in Albania.
Yes.
Is that true? Are they still together as like in a camp, like an army?
Yes, absolutely.
In Albania?
Absolutely. In fact, you know,
the
Iraqi
movie guy.
Government insisted that this group get out of Iraq because now, you know, now that...
Is there any hope that the Albanians will ask them to go away?
Well, basically, the CIA paid a lot of money to Albania to take these people in, and they've been put over there. And, you know, one of the interesting things is that when this this unfortunate incident of that young girl, Mahsa mm-hmm. Amini, who died on September the 16th in a hospital, contrary mm-hmm. to these allegations that she died in police custody, she didn't. It was alleged that she was beaten up by the police on the head so severely that that's what she died of. But when she was in the police station, there was a video footage released. She was standing on her own feet. There was no evidence of any blood mm-hmm. on her body or anything. The police women didn't physically touch her. She collapsed there because, you know, the autopsy report was released. CT scan reports were released, and they said that she had basically suffered when she fainted that there wasn't sufficient blood going to her brain, and that's what she died of. Now, that particular episode was, you know, of course, amplified on Twitter. Now, there are a total of less than 300,000 Twitter users in Iran. But for several weeks, her death was the leading story on Twitter with more than 100 million, you know, Twitter yeah. accounts. Now, if there are 300,000 people in Iran, how on earth did more than 100 million mm-hmm. Twitter users came? The vast majority of those were from Albania, where this MEK...
That's all they do in Albania.
It used to be until 2012, they were on the U.S. list of terrorist organizations. Then it was Hillary Clinton who removed them from that designation, and they became America's buddy buddies. They were sort of, you know, with the...
an army led a sort of political cult of sorts.
Oh, absolutely.
Who John McCain was their best friend.
Absolutely.
Mr. Giuliani.
You know,
Giuliani was their best friend.
Rudy Giuliani, these other people, you know, even Pompeo. These
who were compensated, by the way.
Bed with these people.
Yes.
And in fact, even Harper attended one of their rallies in Paris. And so you see that...
No money there.
That used to be a terrorist organization. Now, leading political figures in the West patronize them. They support them, and they amplify their vicious campaign against the Islamic
yes.
Republic.
And by the way, they created the story of demonstrations, but there's... And I guess this would be our last question, but the... I notice the media is not covering. There have been big demonstrations, really big demonstrations in the Islamic Republic to celebrate the taking of the U.S. Embassy by students in 1979. Could you compare those two demonstrations?
Oh, absolutely. They occurred last Friday, November the 4th, which was the date on which the students had taken over the U.S. embassy. In fact, in Iran, they don't call it an embassy. They called it the nest of spies. And, of course, the documents that they retrieved from there, they were published into 22 or 25 volumes, and they showed that there were the American CIA was deeply involved in Iran even after the revolution, and they were financing people in Iran to carry out a coup. And, of course, every year there are massive demonstrations in Iran to celebrate that frustration of American designs on the Islamic Republic. But in addition to that, with respect to the hijab issue, literally hundreds of thousands of people in Iran came out, participated in demonstrations in support of the hijab, and the women said that this is our right. It is our religious obligation, and we are not going to accept America or any other country to dictate to us as to how we should dress. We should stay away from this. This is our own belief, and this is what we are going to practice.
And they outnumber the other guys. Zafar.
By hundreds of thousands.
By the hundreds of thousands. Zafar, thank you very, very much. We do appreciate it.
It's my great pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Zafar Ben-Gesh. And Phil Collins and I are out of here. We thank Sam for all the help.
CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city. Stream us anytime at www.ciut.fm.